Well, welcome, and welcome to lesson number 7. In this session, I'm going to cover the Milton Erickson hand levitation, which I've discussed to some extent, and some additional specialized sessions. Now, this is one of those sessions that if you're driving, you're going to want to skip ahead and come back to later on, because I'm actually going to begin with a demonstration. I think the easiest way to teach the Milton Erickson hand levitation induction is to simply go through that induction process with you. And I've actually included a script so that you can use the components of the script with your clients. Now, why did Milton Erickson do a hand levitation, and why is this one of the more famous Milton Erickson inductions? Well, the reason why it's one of the more famous Milton Erickson inductions is real simple. He had it transcribed, and Ernest Rossi did a commentary that was published, and that's also part of the Complete Collected Works of Milton Erickson, Volume 1. The script that I'm going to use, obviously for copyright reasons, is not Milton Erickson's script. This is an adaptation of his techniques, and it is my script. The concepts are very similar, and the language patterns are really very similar, but you'll see my own style reflected in the concepts of Milton Erickson, which brings up another subject. One of the emails I got when I asked for some questions to be answered was, how can I become like Milton Erickson? Well, you can become hypnotic by practicing the techniques of this course. I do not think your goal should be to become Milton Erickson. Your goal should be to become the best you that you can be. The techniques of Milton Erickson will help you be a hypnotic person and a more effective hypnotist. But it should not be your goal to copy Milton Erickson. It should not be your goal to simply do what Milton Erickson did. You have to remember what he did was in an entirely different time period, 60 years ago. These things can and should be adapted. We should integrate contextual hypnotherapy. We should delete some of the archaic language, like the word sleep, that Milton Erickson used. We should take his foundation and theory and build from it something that fits our own personal style and our own current work. And that's how I think you become an exceptional hypnotist, studying Milton Erickson's techniques. Now, because back in the day when Milton Erickson was publishing things, it was actually a big deal to publish things. Certainly not everything that he did or wrote was published. The hand levitation with Ernest Rossi's commentary was one of those things that was published, and so it was something that was frequently shared and frequently taught in early Ericksonian hypnotherapy sessions. In fact, when I studied with Bob Belay in Germany, the very first class started with zero explanation of hypnosis. It started with about 25 students surrounding Dr. Belay, with him simply walking to the front of the class and putting his hand on his chin and a foot on the chair to rest his foot. And he began with a very naturalistic set of observations about us in the class. And as we became engaged in what he was saying, he was using Ericksonian language patterns to simply develop rapport with us. And within probably the next 30 to 45 minutes, if you were to walk in the room, you would have seen people at various stages of raising the hand towards the face, with almost everybody in class having the eyes closed. And so he actually began his class with a hand levitation, with really zero explanation of what it was or why he was doing it. And the reason why is because one of the most effective ways to teach hypnosis is to simply experience hypnosis. And so although I saved this for lesson number 7, I am going to do a hand levitation with you at this point. Now, why do a hand levitation? I don't do this with the vast majority of my clients. In fact, it's only usually a couple of clients a year that I actually do a hand levitation with. But the hand levitation makes a great convincer. It becomes an experiential process. It demonstrates hypnotic amnesia. Our clients are often unaware at the end of the session that their hand has been rising throughout the session. It becomes a great convincer, Milton Erickson used, because at the end of the session, they would wonder why their hand was next to their face. I'm convinced that Milton Erickson sometimes did things that were a little bit humorous simply to entertain himself. Absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying your work. The hand levitation is experiential. It draws the client into the process of induction, and it teaches specific skills that are useful to the client for accessing the subconscious mind. And so, to begin your experience with the hand levitation induction, make sure you're in a safe place, not driving a car, and you might want to turn your phone off and put a do not disturb sign on the door. But kick back and relax in the chair where you are. I think you're going to find the next couple of minutes actually enjoyable. That's my hope. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that would make you uncomfortable, and I'm not going to ask you to do anything difficult. This really is a learning process. In learning hypnosis, one of the things that you're able to do is learn the difference between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. In learning and experiencing hypnosis, a lot of people experience not only a tremendous amount of relaxation or peace, but they find that sometimes they can access parts of the mind we didn't know existed before we learned hypnosis. What I'm going to ask you to do is really pretty simple. To follow the directions I give and simply allow yourself to learn from this experience. The goal here is really to integrate our conscious and subconscious thinking. Really doesn't matter if you hear all the words that I use or only hear some of the words. What really matters is that you allow yourself to learn from this experience in any way. It would be beneficial for your mind to benefit from. So pay attention to your breath and make the decision to relax. You'll probably find it more comfortable to close the eyes now. And if your hands are crossed, you'll probably find it easier to do this if you simply set your hands on the armrest of the chair or on your knees or thighs. You can feel the weight of your two hands as they rest on the armrest, as they rest on your lap. As you draw your attention to the two hands, you might notice some similarities, or perhaps you might even begin to notice some differences between them. In a moment, I'm going to ask your mind. Your conscious mind may hear the words I'm using. The subconscious mind will actually make the choice, though, and choose between the two hands. You might choose the left hand. Perhaps you'll find that that's actually the right choice for you. Or you might choose the right hand. And the other hand, of course, will be the only one that's left. Either way is fine. You may or you may not understand why you made the choice you made from the conscious mind, but the subconscious mind will understand the differences between these two hands. In your mind, whether it's your conscious mind or your subconscious mind, you can learn new things and have new experiences. And I wonder if you've made a choice between which of these two hands will become the hand that is as light as a feather, and which hand will be heavier than the other. There really isn't a right or a wrong answer here. It's dependent on your own experiences, your own choices, and the feelings that you have. unless you pay attention to these hands. Your subconscious mind knows, of course, which of these two hands is lighter than the other. The conscious mind might even be aware of the choice that's been made at this point. Or perhaps it's not, and that's just fine. Perhaps you can begin at this point to feel the lightness, really to pay attention to it in one of those hands. The lightness of the hand can extend to the fingertips and even to the nails of the hand that your subconscious mind has selected. And that lightness perhaps extends all the way up through the forearm and even into the elbow. And as you breathe each breath, allow the relaxation you experience to become twice as deep. The hand that your subconscious mind has identified as being the hand lighter than the other hand allows you to experience the feeling of lightness in that hand. And that feeling of lightness in that hand may cause at first a simple awareness of the difference between those two hands, maybe a twitch of the finger or a tingling under the skin, and your breath becomes more shallow and your heart rate slows. The subconscious mind is being spoken to. It understands intuitively the feeling of lightness. It's almost as if a balloon has been tied around the wrist, and that hand begins to move gently, that helium-filled balloon causing the hand to rise. The conscious mind might even wonder, how does this occur? But the subconscious mind is able to experience its own reality. And as the balloon begins to lift that hand, slowly but higher, let it lift slowly, higher and higher, into the air, and even moving up towards your face. The other hand is, of course, heavy. But the hand your subconscious mind is choosing experiences a feeling of lightness, rising as if on its own, higher and higher, higher and higher. And let the hand lift all the way towards the face, maybe even resting on your cheekbone or on the forehead. The experiences we create with the subconscious mind are experiences that we're able to learn from and use in any way we would like to. Your subconscious mind is able to make a choice of where you would like to rest that hand, on the cheekbone, the forehead, or even gently back in the lap. The hand can rise and the hand can fall, just as the subconscious mind is able to note the difference between the left and the right hand. And you've had a chance to experience that here and now. So I'm going to ask you to give yourself a moment to completely and freely experience a moment of tranquility, a moment perhaps more peaceful than any other experience you've identified. Your subconscious mind is able to do this because your subconscious mind and the conscious mind can work together. So in your mind, take a moment to create that resource state of learning, a feeling of peace, of serenity. And to simply enjoy the next minute or two of deep trance before we open the eyes and reorient to the room. And one of the learnings of this session is that at any time throughout the rest of the day you experience difficulty or tension or stress, you can bring yourself back to this point where you are right now that you've created of calm, of learning, of serenity. And so when I count to three, open the eyes, feeling fantastic and ready for the rest of the day. One, two, taking in a breath. Three, feeling energy from that. Opening the eyes, feeling fantastic. And now, depending on what you decided, your hand may be on your face, it may be in the air, or it may be back resting on your knee or the armrest of the chair. Really, any outcome is okay. At this point with a client, though, we could go into a suggestive script or a deepener or an awakening or really anything that we would like to do. And I've abbreviated that process because of time limitations, but that's one of those inductions that can go very slowly, letting a client really engage in the process and can enter very deep levels of trance as a result of an induction such as this. In a later session, what I'm actually going to do is teach you another induction. That's going to be a reverse arm levitation. In other words, instead of the hand rising, the hand falls. And although that's not something that Erickson taught or did that I'm aware of, it is something that I often do with my clients. And I'll share with you that induction and provide a script for you as well. It's really pretty cool and really pretty useful, and I think is in line with sort of the evolution or the adaptation of Ericksonian techniques to other strategies. I'm going to spend some time now looking at six more ways to deliver specialized instructions to clients. And this is what your homework is going to be based on as well. And so the first is implied directives. Implied directives are exactly what they sound like. They're directives that are implied rather than overt. They encourage a response in an indirect way. The first part of the suggestion structure is the indirect suggestion to do something, from which the second half then directly suggests a response. And so here's an example of that formula. When you experience your hand lifting in just a moment, that's indirect. You'll notice that it feels very, very light. That's direct. And the implied directives are a way to engage the subconscious mind to gain agreement and to inform clients of the process they are about to experience. Milton Erickson also used a technique of structuring suggestions that covered all possibilities. I think that this is really important. It enhances responsiveness by encouraging any and all possible responses to your suggestion. I think the mistake a lot of new hypnotists make is in defining success only when a client responds the way that we thought that they would. I try to be as ambiguous as possible, covering all possibilities, defining any response is useful. Any response is cooperative. An example. You might find yourself recalling an important memory, perhaps one from quite early in life, perhaps a memory that's very recent, or perhaps one from somewhere in between a long time ago to very recent times. So, for example, I don't do much regression work, but I do have my clients gain new vantage points on prior experiences. And this is a great way to let them know that the memory they're going to be accessing can be recent or it can be from a long time ago. It really doesn't matter. As long as you're able to recall a time or an event, where would I use this? Well, I use this with my clients who need to develop confidence in public speaking. Chances are pretty good they can easily recall with the conscious mind every time they've screwed up in front of a group. But they've probably also had some times when they felt confidence. And I want them to recognize that to experience confidence today, I can draw on my reservoir of previous experiences where I've had success. Even when it comes to relaxation, I tend to cover all possibilities. Rarely do I say to my clients, and as you relax, you will feel relaxation this way. Instead, what I say to my clients is this, and as you relax and drift into trance, you might notice that the muscles feel very heavy, or perhaps even light, or perhaps even no change at all. Simply knowing that having set this time aside is time that is valuable to you. Well, there's three different outcomes. It really covers all possibilities. When I cover all possibilities, I guarantee 100% of success in my suggestions. The interspersal of suggestions is the frequent repetition of keywords or phrases with an ongoing flow of suggestions. It is used to deepen the hypnotic experience, to facilitate the experience of specific hypnotic phenomena, to really seed or implant ideas for future reference, or to reiterate an important point. Here's an example of interspersal suggestions. A deep thinker, that is, one who thinks deeply, can evolve a deeper understanding of the complexities of suggestion and perhaps even deeper understandings of himself or herself and gaining depth of knowledge about suggestion. That is an example of a deepening technique using the interspersal of suggestions throughout our pattern. Paradoxical suggestions are what seem to be at first glance incompatible or even contradictory components contained within the same overall suggestion. And here's an example of a paradoxical suggestion. These again disarm that critical factor. Here's the example. And during a session, you can take all the time in the world in the next minute or so to complete your inner work of integrating your new understanding. Well, it's a great paradox. You can take all the time in the world during the next minute or two. And those paradoxes can be really important and powerful tools for incorporating suggestion, especially suggestion related to specific actions. Another example of a paradoxical suggestion, let's take a weight loss client. These are some of my favorites. As you eat whatever you want to this week, you'll choose portions that are smaller than your previous choices and healthier than what you used to choose before we started. You could even add, "This is right, isn't it?" to gain agreement to that paradoxical suggestion. This is by far one of my favorite techniques, and if you were to ever observe me in my office, something you would see me using on a regular basis. Presuppositions. Now, we've discussed these in a previous lesson on language patterns, but I'm going to review them. They assume the suggested response will happen. They're not a question about whether or not the response will occur, but only when. An example is, how pleasantly surprised will you be when you discover that you understand presuppositions? It presupposes, of course, that you will understand them. In weight loss, for example, how pleasantly surprised will you be when you discover that the weight you've been trying to release effortlessly and easily seems to melt each time you get on the scale. Puns are a great way to deliver suggestions. They use humor to reframe, and this is valuable for engaging the client while establishing a friendly and warm emotional response associated to hypnosis. In my office with my clients, I try to have a little bit of fun with them. I make a joke every now and then. I'm not always serious. In fact, I notice I tend to be more serious in a class than I actually am with my clients. They're a little bit nervous. Humor is a way of dealing with nervousness, and it can make a great way to structure suggestions. Here's an example. Some people like to do hypnosis with a slow and rhythmic style of delivering suggestions, even pacing suggestions to the rhythm of the client's breathing. But you know, and I know, that the rhythm method is not very reliable. That's actually pretty humorous. And an example of how we might use a pun or something similar to a pun, something with a double meaning, to sort of break the ice. Truisms are really common sense observations that appear to be so obviously true and self-evident that it's virtually undeniable. They're generally used to build an acceptance of the suggestion that follows it as the person evolves an agreeable mindset, establishing a receptive set. Here's an example. Every person is unique. That's the truism. So every person is unique. We all know that, which is why you can experience deep hypnosis in your own unique way. I've covered, again, several different aspects of creating direct suggestion, and I've guided you through that process of Milton Erickson's hand levitation induction. Your assignment at the conclusion of this lesson is to write a short suggestive therapy script which uses at least two of these specialized suggestions. Maybe you want to use a pun and a paradox, a presupposition and an interspersal of suggestions. But actually take the time to write a script, a short little script addressing really any subject you'd like that you can use with clients that gives you a chance to practice these things. And then, of course, in your daily life, use some of these suggestions in communicating with others apart from hypnotic processes. What you will, of course, discover is that life is hypnotic and that the suggestions work without formal trance. The reason why? Because we're always in trance.